Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
You know what makes this different? They ain't never seen this Cam. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam felt like I was just left to die.
You crazy? You about to be pulled. You about to be pulled.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, that's not right. What is wrong with our Hawks? Why can't we win in the last few minutes of games, guys? It is something we've been discussing today. We will continue that discussion. Eric hits us up on a tweet. Larry Duncan actually hit us up, and Eric liked the tweet, but Larry says, I'm fuming. He says, especially last night, you lose on a breakaway dunk. He says, at the same time, Luka went bonkers. Luka hits the game winner for the Mavs last night. And, you know, again, that has nothing to do with our team losing, but as he said, not a good look.
No, it's salt in the wounds. We're always going to be measuring. It's unavoidable, especially when Cam Reddish isn't on the floor or not stepping up and growing in his second year. We'll talk more about the Hawks. But, I mean, there's so many things like the Falcons, and I hate to do that because one shouldn't have anything to do with the other in this town, Carl, but challenges. Quinn used to do the dumbest challenges. Last night was a dumb challenge. You lost a crucial timeout. You switched Gallinari in for a guy who is a rim protector like Clint Capella who wouldn't do an Olay on that dunk. It makes no sense.
Dwight Parker says we're underachieving.
Trey wasn't great. Look, if you look strictly at the scoring sheet, Trey had a good night, but he needed more shots to drop late, especially when John Collins was out.
28-12 for Trey, and again, on any given night, I'll take that. But it just doesn't matter when we're losing games the way that we're losing. So he missed that floater with about 11 seconds to play, and then in transition, Colin Sexton, who, by the way, 29 points for Colin Sexton. You guys remember watching him, and he's a local kid as well. But the point is that was the game winner. He sets up the dunk, and it's all over. It was just frustrating. This was as frustrated as I've been all season with how we found ways to lose games. We're not even at the halfway point yet with the All-Star game, you know, on
and
its
you
way.
And you just laid out a West Coast swing that's going to be really tough, especially as DeAndre Hunter is still, you know, getting himself back in basketball shape.
All right, man. Before we get to Connor Riley, who we visit with from Dog Nation each and every week, we'll talk dogs as part of our college football report. I do want to read this because I think it's important. There's been a lot of speculation. We've tried not to do a lot of that because we want the facts. And so, you know, we're going with what we know. But the L.A. County Sheriff, his name's Alex Villanueva, came out and said that there will not be any charges filed against Tiger Woods pertaining to this accident. And his quote was, he was not drunk. We can throw that one out. This was simply an accident. So Tiger Woods folks, they put out a statement. You've seen it. Maybe you haven't. But basically saying that he's awake, responsive, and recovering in his hospital room. You know, as more information comes about, they'll let us know. But that's from Tiger's people. But Mike, the L.A. County Sheriff's Department is saying this was purely an accident.
Right, and that's what got me irked yesterday. And again, I mean, full disclosure, I'm a big Tiger Woods fan. I always have been, and I don't lose my mind when, you know, if people aren't role models, as Charles Barkley said. But I got irked yesterday, Carl, when some of the stuff was on social media. Guys cracking jokes about Ambien and all this stuff. And you got a guy who's got kids, and we don't know if he's going to make it at that point out or not. And you got people cracking jokes, but that's as Squidbill said, that damn cesspool that Twitter is, man.
It is. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox. It's B-R-I-T-E, brightboxelectrical.com. Man cave, home automation, home security, generators. We always got juice. They got it all. If it's electrical, go to brightboxelectrical.com.
Connor Riley from Dog Nation. I want to ask you about Isaiah Wilson. I don't know if you know him. I don't know how much you covered him, but he's been a topic of conversation in the NFL because the Titans basically told him, you got to tell us whether or not you want to play football for us, and if you don't, well, then that's fine. He puts out a tweet a couple of days ago. Now it's been deleted, saying, I'm done with the football as a Titan. No further comments. Isaiah Wilson as a dog when he was at Georgia was one of the best offensive linemen they've had there in the last decade. What is going on with Isaiah Wilson?
To me, it feels like Isaiah Wilson was not ready to be an adult and sort of handle the business that comes with being an adult and being in the NFL and treating this like a job. It feels a little bit like his goal was to get to the NFL, and then once he made it there, once he got that $11 million contract, that $6 million signing bonus, it felt like he's like, all right, well, I've done what I needed to do. I can just go and enjoy life. And the reality is that's not what you should be doing when you're an NFL player. The end goal shouldn't be to get to the NFL. The end goal should be to thrive as an NFL player so you have a long career so that you don't have to work the rest of your life. And you know, we've seen this with a couple of Georgia guys. I know DeAndre Baker got himself in a lot of trouble last year. But, you know, Isaiah Wilson was a well-spoken, well-thoughtful guy talking to him at the Combine last year. He seemed really ready for the NFL and ready for the moment. And almost essentially from when he walked in there in Nashville, getting in trouble at that off-campus party, a DUI in September, multiple stints on the COVID list, he has just not been able to handle the NFL lifestyle. And it's really disappointing knowing him from our time together at Georgia and covering him.
Right. We said it's kind of like came out of left field. He also, I think he said something about quitting, to your point, he said he said about quitting football, yeah. And he deleted that tweet. I mean, like DeAndre Baker now gets a second lease on life after his ridiculous offseason with all the things that happened to him, you know, with the Giants mm-hmm. ready to, and they did cut bait on him. So, you know, and I always hate that stuff because, you know, it's Steve Spurrier was saying, well, you always know Georgia's going to have somebody suspended in that first week when we play. You know, it's, you don't want to have that stigma. I don't think if you're a football factory, what happens after they leave is any, it's no sweat off your back, but still, it doesn't look good. The optics aren't good.
No. You know, Isaiah, for the most part, was a model citizen when he was at Georgia, so I don't know his transgressions, how much they reflect back poorly on Georgia and how they prepared him there. I think the bigger thing is just that maybe Isaiah didn't develop, you know, in the adult life. So, because again, he's 21, 22 years old, and to be handed that amount of money, that's a lot, and it's a lot of responsibility, and it's unfortunate that, you know, we're not talking about, all right, how does Isaiah Wilson get better as a football player going into his second year? Is this guy even going to get picked up anywhere? Because, you know, at least DeAndre Baker, his first year with the Giants, he played a good bit. It wasn't spectacular, right. But he at least showed that he could handle the on-field stuff. Isaiah Wilson had 4 snaps last year, and one of those was on an extra point where he got put on his behind, to put it nicely. So there's a ton of questions around him, and if you want to start talking big butts, I got a good friend who's a Tennessee Titans fan, and he is just – so beside himself that, one, they took him, and then, two, that Wilson has had the season that he has had.
It is Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation. All right, from that to Demetrius Robertson, what's the deal? Because he's coming back, or is he? I know he wants to come back, but now he's facing felony charge?
Yeah, it stems from he had a parking boot put on his car. He took that parking boot off. Apparently that is a felony. You know, it's something I'm sure hundreds of people have done and will continue to do because parking boots are just sort of a hassle and, you know, a little overbearing. He is going to be back with the team. Georgia announced that a few weeks ago. He is on the 2021 roster. So he'll be back. I'm sure the punishment will be handled in-house. It's light. It's one of those things where the name fits more, it is worse than what it actually is of the crime that Robinson committed.
Yeah, the parking boot thing, Carl. I've been down that road. I think that manslaughter is legal in that case.
You've taken parking boots off? Have you taken parking boots off?
No, but I've threatened to take towing people's noses off, if that counts. It's a Connor Riley with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, explain this to me. I know we have an early signing period, but March 15th, Georgia's already got guys on the hook for the 2022 class. What's that about?
Yeah, the recruiting calendar has been sped up more than ever. And with the 2022 class, with the dead period getting extended and these guys not being able to take visits, a lot of these guys just have fatigue already. And they say, I want to be done with this. I don't want to talk to you coaches anymore. I don't want to talk to, you know, assistant coaches and whatnot. So Georgia's already got 8 commitments in the 2022 class. We've got a bunch of guys set to announce in March and early April. One of those guys, the guys you just referenced, Michael Williams, he's a defensive lineman out of Columbus. One of the best players in the state, I think 17 sacks last year as a junior. top 50 overall player and someone Georgia very much wants and is expected to be a big part of Georgia's defensive line class going forward.
Connor, you know, we keep talking about JT Daniels. I'm excited to see what happens this spring and how much more this offense expands. But just like in the NFL, you know, he's going to need a run game. And somebody asked me the other day, are the Dogs going to have the best running attack in the SEC? And I said, well, I don't know about that, but I do think they could have the best running back attack in the SEC East. Do you agree with that? And how does that look with White and Cook and I think, you know, McIntosh and all these guys that they have? How is that going to look?
Right, yeah. So from a depth standpoint, I think Georgia has maybe the deepest and most talented running back room in the country. They might not have a true star at that position next year, but from a depth standpoint, they're as good as anyone. They have running backs who can do everything. I think as far as how good a rushing attack it is, it's ultimately going to depend on how this offensive line develops and improves. They were not very good to end the 2020 season, so I'll be real interested to see how they develop. But with, you know, Zamir White, James Cook out of the backfield, Kendall Milton, Kenny McIntosh, they can have four or five guys that can legitimately win you a game. Maybe not win you a game, but do what needs to be done at an SEC level at the running back position. And it's going to be fascinating to see how the touches get tallied out and who is averaging how many carries per game there, because it's a really interesting balancing act that Todd Monken is going to have to do with this running back room.
Tight end's going to see the rock this year with JT Daniels? Or just let those let Pickens do his thing?
Boy, you know, I think Georgia has real talent in its tight end room with Darnell Washington. John Fitzpatrick's a nice piece out of the Atlanta area. And then they brought in a kid, Brock Bowers, from California in this past recruiting class, who does something, who has an athleticism that no one else in that room has. But, man, it feels like forever we've been talking about why don't the tight ends get the ball more. I mean, I can remember as a student reporter in college asking Mark Richt that question. He was not happy that I had asked it. So ultimately, and Mark Richt doesn't get upset often, but he was not happy that I was asking about tight end usage. Ultimately, I think with tight ends, they're a mismatch. And so in a game against, say, South Carolina or Tennessee, where you have a big talent advantage, they might not be used as much. But in those more finite games against, say, a Florida or an Alabama or Clemson first game of the season, that's a game where, you know, you just can't – there just aren't athletes to cover a 6'7" Darnell Washington. So those are the type of games where I'd be really interested to see the tight end usage and how much they're getting targeted the ball, because I think that's where – that small difference in athletes can make a big difference at that tight end position.
Speaking of tight ends, Eric Gilbert, local kid, I thought he was going to go to Georgia with the transfer. He was at LSU, played a part of a state championship team two seasons ago. And now he's at Florida. And I'm just saying, we just saw Kyle Pitts and what he did this season. Mm. Is Eric Gilbert that good? I thought he was going to end up at Georgia, but again, he does not.
Yeah, I think Eric Gilbert is that good. He is one of the best high school players I've seen in the past decade. Had a very promising freshman season before he decided to opt out. And I just went through a number of tight ends at Georgia, and we talked about, is this the year Georgia tight ends get involved? I think that's a big reason Gilbert isn't at Georgia. Just, yeah, they have a lot of talent there already. They have some questions there. I mean, again, you look at Kyle Pitts, he's going to be a top 15, maybe even a top 10 draft pick. Dan Mullen has shown that he can get his guys in space the ball and put them in a position to succeed and ultimately be high draft picks in the NFL. So, you know, from that standpoint, it made all the sense in the world for Gilbert to be there. I will say,
Connor,
do we lose Connor?
They are still weighing their one-time transfer rule, but the SEC also has a transfer rule. Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
SEC also has a transfer rule where if you transfer within conference, you have to sit out a season. Awesome. Sorry about that. If you transfer within the conference, you have to sit out a season. Now, the SEC waived that citing the pandemic this past year, but I don't know if the SEC is going to be thrilled about waiving that. And Kirby Smart has talked about this in the past. He's not a huge fan of the transfer portal because ultimately, in the long run, I think this hurts Georgia more than it potentially helps them. So one of the things I'm interested in watching these next couple of weeks is Arik Gilbert able to play right away next year? And if he's not for Florida, I think that's going to be a big loss for what their offense could potentially be next season.
Real quick, so the ruling has not been made for this upcoming season, right, is what you're saying?
No, it is not. And that's okay. Something that's probably going to be discussed in May and June, and a decision will ultimately be made on that. The expectation is that the NCAA is going to pass their transfer rule, but when that might be, we don't know yet, because passing that legislation is sort of tied into the name, image, and likeness legislation, which is just a giant mess right now.
All right. By the way, St. Patrick's Day, it looks like the Dogs will have their pro day. You're going to have the draft-eligible players doing their thing out there. So, again, a lot of buzz about Azeez Ojulari, you talked about. I'd like to see the Falcons take a flyer on Richard LeCount. You think he'd be a nice piece as like a dime linebacker or safety?
I obviously he had the unfortunate end to his career, but I like what Richard LeCount can do as a player. And we saw this last year at Georgia. He was starting to do things as a playmaker that really impressed me in terms of the secondary. So he's not going to be a day one or probably not a day two pick, but as like a fourth, fifth rounder, I think he's someone that can do some things. And while we're talking Falcons here for a minute, I do have a question for both of you. Justin Fields is probably going to be on the clock at 4. Do you want to see the Falcons take him?
Yes. In stereo, yes.
Yes.
Or trade down and take him if possible.
I would like to see Justin Fields ultimately become an Atlanta Falcon because, you know, obviously the questions around him are what they are at this point. But in terms of ceiling, from what I saw and from what I've seen from him as a recruit through his time at Ohio State,
agreed.
If he hits his ceiling is as high, if not higher, than Trevor Lawrence's. He's every bit has that potential. The question and the differentiator, I think, between Fields and Lawrence is just ultimately what their floor is, especially starting out early. But I would, you know, I'm not a Falcons fan, but I have a lot of friends that are. They would be through the roof if Justin Fields was wearing a Falcons jersey next year.
All right. We'll get on board with the Falcons. We're going to turn things around this year, Connor. What's wrong with you?
Connor Riley, Dog Nation, thanks again. We appreciate you as always, bro. Thanks so much.
Yep, as always. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, guys. Coming up, Terry Fontenot, general manager of our Atlanta Falcons, joined us yesterday. You'll get a chance to hear what he has to say about the guy we were just talking about, Justin Fields and more. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9. Terry Fontenot joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Terry, it's good to have you on the program. You know, first and foremost, how are things? How's the adjustment going for you now that you've been on the job for a while?
The adjustment has been really good. It's really good just getting to know everybody now and getting to work with everybody. There's so many different people from a lot of different organizations, which is really cool. Even having some guys fresh from college and because there's a lot of different ideas and a lot of different processes and a lot of different ways different people did things. So it's just really cool and fun going through the experience of making sure moving forward we're doing it. We're developing processes for us, for the Falcons, and we'll do it the best way possible moving forward. So that whole part of it has been really fun.
It is the new GM, and as we said, I don't want to blow smoke, Terry, but we were really blown away by your press conference. You won the press conference, if nothing else, boss, to start the career here in Atlanta. How tough is it going to be to evaluate the talent without a combine, or you guys got enough tape to look at?
Yeah, I think we have enough tape to look at. The more difficult thing, I think, is when you have to go back and watch tape from a previous year from players that opted out and didn't play, and then so it makes it really important to see him on grass at the pro days and make sure we take advantage of each exposure, because some of these guys we haven't seen play in a year. So that's really important. But I would say our college staff has done an excellent job. We had 2 weeks of meetings that wrapped up a few days ago, and they did a good job because, hey, everybody's playing with the same rules, by the same rules. And I would say our guys have really taken advantage of every avenue, every resource they can to get us as prepared as possible. We're going to continue doing that up until the draft.
Terry Fontenot joining us here on Dukes and Bell, guys. General manager for our Atlanta Falcons. You know we don't like the Saints. You know that. But Mike and I, over the last four, and I'm just going to use the last 4 years, and I want you to kind of give us your experience of what you guys did, because we've got some tough decisions to make with our team to get under the cap. But every year, Terry, we'd be like, Saints are in trouble! Saints are in cap hell. There's no way they can sign all these guys. And then you guys every year signed who you needed to sign. You kept who you needed to keep. And then you guys were in the playoffs. And so now you come here, and I'm wondering, like, okay, how much of that experience is going to help you do what you need to do with our team?
Yeah, so we hired Chris Olsen a couple weeks ago, and Chris is one of the best in the league at that job. And we already had Kirsten Groves here that works with the salary cap as well. And they're really grinding through that process. And basically what you have to do is they're going to come up with the different scenarios. And because there's so many variables involved in everything, and there's decisions you have to make. And I will say this, what we're going to focus on is not just making decisions that are going to help us now and hurt us in the future. So we're going to have a big picture mindset, because so sometimes you don't. Sometimes you put duct tape and Band-Aid up things and just get yourself through the day in the moment without thinking about the future. But we're going to think about everything. And because our goal is to not just win this year. Our goal is to compete this year, but also win moving forward. But look, we had some really smart people in New Orleans that worked hard to figure things out. And I would say we have some really smart people here in Atlanta that are working their tails off, and we're going to work hard to get where we need to get.
It is Terry Fontenot with his guys on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Our first chance, as Carl mentioned, to talk to our new GM. And we told the listeners, Terry, we don't expect you to give the secret sauce and spill it, but what would you say our number one strength is and our number one weakness is going into this next season?
Yeah, I would say that if you said the number one strength, man, if you look at the offense, obviously we have a quarterback. Obviously we have some really good receivers. And look, we have some – there's some guys I'm excited about on the offensive line. There's a lot of good elements to this team. We just have some areas we need to fill in. Defensively, same thing. There's some really bright spots on the defense. We just need to – there's just areas that we need to fill in. And that's what's critical. But you get excited about the players, not just of what they can do on the field, but there's some guys here that have really good makeups and are good pros and do things the right way. So we're excited about that part of it. And we just, I mean, we have over 50% of this roster has to be filled out. So we're just going to really add to that and make sure we're focusing on makeup and bringing in the right types of players with the right mindset so we can build the culture the right way. And but hey, some good players on the team, but we got a lot of work to do.
Terry, we got the fourth overall pick, and everybody's talking about, you know, the quarterbacks in this draft and all of that stuff. So, you know, when you look at our situation specifically, I think, you know, I've been saying on our show, we've got a lot of power. We've got a lot of power with this fourth overall pick, and we know that you're talking with other teams. That's just normal stuff and normal business in the NFL. But how do you view this? And you know, when you look at this, how what's your overall vision when you look at, you know, the fourth overall pick and then how this draft may play out for us as the Falcons? I think we have six picks overall right now.
I'm hoping this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You don't want to be at the top of this draft very often because we know, obviously, we won four games, so we got the fourth pick. So it's not a place that we want to be very often. And so with that, we have to take advantage of it because we can sit there and take an elite player. We can move up, we can move back, and acquire more picks. So it is a prime spot, and we're not going to close any doors. So we're going to because we have a lot of work to do on this roster again to add to the core and to add to the players that we have here. We got to supplement the roster. So it is a prime spot. It's not somewhere we want to be very often. So we have to take advantage of it.
All right, so you get in the job, you get into the office, you take that deep breath, you did all the pressers, and then they bring in all these folders, I'm guessing, I don't know, on the computer, you tell us, here are all the players you need to look at, Terry. And then, you know, the door closes, and you go to work. You didn't really know our guys. You knew them, but you didn't know them. So how has that gone as far as getting to know our current players and guys that we more than likely are going to end up keeping?
That's a really good point because you have a perception when you're with another team in the division. So I've been looking at this team for a long time and you have a specific perception on certain players. But when you get in the building, it's interesting being in the building, understanding who the players really are as people and the makeup, because that's obviously really important. But then the other cool aspect of it is we have people from Houston and Baltimore and Washington and Chicago and Tennessee and college. We have guys from a lot of different places and they have different perceptions from their angle. So it's just really cool getting with everybody and meeting about, again, what we're going to be looking for moving forward, but also assessing the roster, not just from my perception when I was in New Orleans, of being in the building and having a lot of really smart people. And because that's number one, we all dropped our egos because we all have opinions and we all have assessments, but we all dropped our egos and we're going to do what's best for the Falcons. So I would say coming in the building, getting to know the players from this angle, and then also a lot of smart people around us are able to give their well-researched opinions as well.
Terry, I know you don't wake up thinking about it, but I got to ask it because, you know, in my career, in my experience and talking with different people, you always run into people, you know, you're the first. You know, you're the first. So you're the Falcons' first black general manager. Is there more pressure in your mind? Do you feel more pressure because of that? You don't wake up every day thinking about it, but it is something that people have stated and talked about since your hiring.
I'm not a person that, and I'm being honest, I'm not a person that feels pressure. You know, I believe there's pain in life, right? We're all going to have pain, but you choose your pains. And I choose the pain of preparation and discipline. And when you choose that pain of preparation and discipline, then you're not going to have that pain of pressure and regret. So that's how I operate personally. But I do take, and I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate you mentioning that. And I look at that as it's a huge opportunity. It's not an accomplishment. It's an opportunity. And for every, you know, I work with a lot of good people, and I have a lot of good. Again, I've said it a million times. My son, that's 9. He's going to be a GM. That's his mindset. I don't know what my daughters want to do. They might decide they want to be a GM at some point. And I look at it more like it's an opportunity to do the right things and to make sure I have the right approach. Because that's, for me, winning is having the right approach and moving forward the right way and having the right process and focusing on the process, not always the immediate results. So I have to make sure we have the right approach and we're doing things the right way. And then people after me will have opportunities as well. So I see it as a really good opportunity to do things the right way to help people after me.
It is Terry Fontenot with us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell on the WaitFor.com hotline. So, Terry, the big picture, we talked about how you would have interviewed with Arthur Blank and what questions he would have asked. And can you put a team on the field this year that can compete and still be doing some of the big picture things for the long haul?
That's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. Now, again, we have to make decisions thinking big picture, but that's our job as scouts. We understand that. They're not all going to be high draft picks. They're not all going to be high-paid free agents. We have to look at it like there are really good players at the end of the draft. There are really good players after the draft. There are really good players at value prices in free agency. They're always there. We just got to find them. We got to find the right players that fit what Dean and Dave and Arthur are looking for. They fit the right skill set. They fit the right makeup. And I know our scouts, our pro scouts, our college scouts are working as hard as they can to fill out this roster with players that fit what we're looking for. So yeah, we have a big picture mindset, and we're going to make smart, calculated decisions. But it's our job to get football players on this roster that are going to help us compete.
That's what it's all about for our general manager, Terry Fontenot. More on the Falcons coming up at 5 o'clock. When we come back, Yeah Man, No Man here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Sports Flash.
I'm Mike Conti. This update is brought to you by Hint Water. After another frustrating fourth quarter collapse last night in Cleveland, Hawks have to turn right around and play again tonight at home against Boston. Kevin Herter says they are disappointed after blowing a fourth quarter lead for the 10th time this year.
Obviously didn't get stops, had a couple bad fouls, and obviously stuff didn't go our way, so we kind of just keep doing it to ourselves, so there's obvious frustration.
Both the Hawks and Celtics are on the second half of back-to-backs tonight. The Hawks haven't won in those situations yet this year. Pre-game coverage starts at 7 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United's completely new coaching staff and a number of newly signed players are working together for the first time today. This is the opening day of their training camp with their season opener in Costa Rica a little less than 6 weeks away. Investigators in Los Angeles continue to probe the single car wreck that seriously injured golfer Tiger Woods Tuesday. Woods representatives say he suffered serious leg and ankle injuries, and he is now recovering in a Southern California hospital. Hint is pure water infused with surprisingly true fruit flavors, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, water with a touch of true fruit flavor. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Mike Conti from the Kia Studios. On your home of tonight's Hawks Celtics game, tip off at 7:30. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to talk more about our Hawks coming up in 30 minutes. What in the world is going on? I've had it up to here, and hopefully we can get a W tonight. Also, the second half of the NBA schedule is out. We'll talk more about that and what it means for our Atlanta Hawks. Thanks again to Terry Fontenot coming on the show yesterday. Hope you enjoyed what he had to say, Mike. And a big decision still had to be made, man. I mean, we just had one of our loyal listeners hit us up on social media on the Twitter, and he said, wait a minute, I just heard Connor Riley ask you guys, do you want Justin Fields or not? And you both of you guys said yes. And TK says, yesterday I heard you guys say you'd rather have picks. What is it? We just answered the question.
Yeah, we'd like to have, in a perfect world, a trade down to, let's say, 7, 8, or 10 and still get Justin Fields. Yeah. But that's not likely to happen. I mean, again, there's a part – how many times we talk about this? There's still a part of me that would love to see us try to make one last run, although that seems a bit like long odds. But, yes, if it comes – as Carl's line is, nut-cutting time at number 4 – I would take Justin Fields, unless Penei Sewell has been available, in which case I'd take him.
I'm with you. And by the way, TK, I told you, my mind's going to probably change 3, 4, 5 more times between now and the draft, right. Maybe even more than that, just depending on what other information we find.
I just love the fact that Terry's keeping his options open. There's no reason to lock into something or say something where, oh, we really like this guy. And then, maybe we can make a deal. As we said, guys, have our cake and eat it too. Let's hope so.
All right, man. Falcon Report's on the way. How do you balance winning now and winning later? We'll get into that. Right now, it's time for Yeah Man, No Man. All right, Bo, what's going on today, my man?
I was just listening to you guys talk about the draft thing. I just love this time of the year because I listen to so much sports talk and all over the place. I was listening to our morning show this morning, and at one point this morning, John Fricke had moved Jake Matthews to right tackle, Caleb McGarry to left guard, and then he had moved Chris Lindstrom to center. And so now we were without a right guard and a left tackle. And I don't know how any of it made us any better. But it was just funny because it's just draft talk. So it just makes me laugh.
Oh, you're saying you're making a joke of my personnel moves, what you're telling me.
Yeah, I am.
This won't stand. I will address this tomorrow morning. Isn't that right, Hugh?
Sounds about right.
Thanks, Hugh.
You know, John, it might have worked when they didn't throw forward passes, but I don't know if that'd work these days. So I'm just saying. I know you've covered the game.
You know, Squidbilly, I've had enough of your impertinence. I'm glad you're with Dukes and Bell now. And by the way, we're celebrating the birthday of Hannes Wagner today, a good drinking buddy of mine, later today in Guy Talk. Back to you.
How old is he now?
Hannes Wagner? Oh, he's up in heaven.
Okay. He's over 100, isn't he?
Well, please. You don't ask a gentleman his age.
Well, all this about Soroka. Body ring. Dang, John, you puff pass. You can't hit that thing like that.
All this shit. You know, I have realtors. I'm a realtor. I've got clients, okay? We just stop with this, okay? I do not take mind altering drugs.
Well, John, before you got into real estate and you were covering Honus Wagner.
I always.
I just want to know if you ever had an interaction with Honus like Anthony Edwards had last night with a reporter from Ireland.
So if you get a win tonight, that would breed confidence going into those next 4 games against teams in the similar spots beside you in the table.
Where are you from, Jim?
Ireland.
I like your accent. It's tough. Oh. I want to learn how to talk like that. But ask your question again. I was too much listening to your accent.
That's funny.
That's great. You got an Irish guy covering the league, huh?
Yeah. And Anthony Edwards, the video that was on the Timberwolves Twitter account is great because you can see where Anthony, as soon as this guy starts talking, Anthony Edwards' mind went a different place. And it got me to thinking there are so many great accents. You know, Ireland and Scotland and Australia are 3 that really pop out to me as fun accents to listen to. But do you guys ever just kind of zone out when you hear an accent from a female that you like?
Yeah, Russian accent does it to me every time, man. I hear a girl with a Russian accent, it's happened to me a few times. I told that story, Carl, Tony the Mailman. This wasn't Bart working. This was just a vacation in 96. And we were in Athens at this club called Amphitheatro, huge club. Told this beautiful bartender, you should come to Miami. You could be a model. You're so beautiful. He's like, I think you drink too much American. Oh, I love a Russian accent or Ukrainian accent. It's all the same to me.
I'm going to stay here in the United States and tell you that I like the all Midwestern.
What?
Wait, hold on. That sounded like you're going Brazilian, like eye poppy there for a second.
No, not eye poppy, just the all.
Oh, you betcha.
You want some popo.
Okay. Like the girl, that girl that hit on you that day at Stats when we were watching the draft party.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Look at you. Let's take you back to the old Omni here. Make some memories there, big guy. Look at you. Look at you.
Well, you know what? I honestly, it's never dawned on me until you run across it. I think about like people you just, you know, you meet, and then how often do you say, like, where are you from, right? Where it catches your ear. Mm. When that happens, but it doesn't happen that often. It hadn't happened that often where I've gone, oh. But, yeah, I always ask people. I ran into a young lady today. As a matter of fact, I was talking to her, and I said, where are you from? You're not from Georgia, are you? And she was like, no, my parents are from, like, what'd she say? Oh, Illinois. And so you could just tell there was a little bit of that in the way that she spoke.
We're not letting that accent slide, Carl, by the way. There will be a production piece.
Betcha.
Yeah.
At least you didn't say you love the Boston accent. Let me have a car. So, all right. So this whole Tiger Woods stuff yesterday, it kind of took us a lot of different places. And I'm on a group thread with some guys that I'm friends with in my neighborhood. We all play golf together. And let's just say these guys like to put money on everything, like everything. And Tiger Woods is not even – he's probably just out of surgery, and the text comes across, anybody want to make a $500 bet whether he wins another PGA event? Not Champions Tour. But right. A regular PGA event. Doesn't have to be a major, but he's got – so Tiger is, I believe, 45. He can join the Champions Tour at 50. Mm-hmm. But any PGA tournament, is that a bet that I should make?
I'd take it because Carl and I, as bad as this looks right now, you never count him out. And by the way, I saw a blog today, Carl. I guess actually USA Today put this thing up on social media with an orthopedist who says – he can potentially bounce back. The big thing is, how did he jack up his back in this accident, which nobody has talked about, but the leg is never going. They said, Carl, it might never be the same. Everyone points, obviously, to Ben Hogan, who was nearly killed in a head-on collision. But, I mean, I still cannot. Maybe I'm just too much of a fanboy for Tiger, but I can't bet against him. I take the bet.
I would, too. Especially when you say, if you said a major, I'd say no way. Because the odds of that, again, it was, what, 8 years between majors? And now with these new... I'll call them complications, you know. It doesn't mean that it's over, but...
there was no guarantee, Carl, he was going to play the Masters. That's the thing.
Oh, sure, with the recent surgery. But, yeah, if you said major, I'd say no way. Just a regular PGA tournament, yes, I'd tell you, I'd take the bet as well. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it, but I don't know, that's a lot. You never know when that bet could be finished, so you never know. All right, Mike, Carl, thanks as always. Oh, also, thank you, Fricky, for taking time out of,
I appreciate that.
Real estate.
By the way, Carl, one of the great great card games I ever had. We were on a Pullman coach. Anyway, it was Hannes Wagner, and I got to Texas Hold'em with Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
Nice.
I lost my shirt. And my starched collar, which was the fashion back then.
All right, Fricky, enough. You're making us late. You can only make your own show late.
Chris, I apologize.
Hit the music.
I what is going on?
Coming up, Falcon Reports on the way, guys. So how do we win now and continue to get better for the future?
I'll tell you how. We get Taco Fall. Fall would be the attraction.
Can you do both? Or do you have to choose one? We'll talk about it coming up on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.